All right, thank you. I appreciate it. We're going to, if you would, turn with me to Joshua. And Joshua chapter 7. Now, I'm going to stay in this for a while here. And the Lord gave me a message one day. You know, we're dealing with people. I deal with people on the streets, but I also deal with people that are in the jails and in the prison system. And a lot of the things, when you first start trying to work with them or even talk to them, the things that they're worried about are the outward appearances. They're worried about their smoking, their drug habits, and so on and so forth. And those are all very important. Those need to be dealt with. But there's something deeper, okay? There's something deeper that the Lord wants to expose to them, and they can't see it because they're so caught up. And I remember before I got saved, I remember struggling and always saying, you know, I can't get rid of this, and I can't get rid of this. And my pastor would say, Dale, those things will come. God is worried about the inside. He's worried about your heart. He's worried about your soul. He's worried about your salvation. The other things will come. And I just remember that there was I just didn't believe in God, and I had to come to that point. God had to show me and teach me. And so here we're going to read in Joshua, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Right from the get-go, we see they just won a battle in chapter 6. And now here they are in chapter 7. Nobody's run up to anybody and said, hey, there's something in the midst of the camp. No, God is pointing this thing out. God, in the very first, chapter 7, the very first verse, he's saying, hey, there's something in the midst of the camp that can't be there. There's an accursed thing that's a hidden thing. Now, the people in the camp had no clue what was there. They thought, hey, man, we're doing good. We just won a victory. All is well. And God says, he comes, the very first thing you see right here, God's going to expose to him that accursed thing. Okay? Because God is not worried about our outward appearances. He's worried about what's in our hearts. He's worried about those things. There's a lot of things that I know dealt when I was dealt with before I was converted. God would deal with and show me a lot of things about myself. And that's part of being in the birth canal before we're born again. God shows us those things. But once he exposes those things to us, he's going to leave that alone. He knows that we understand that. He knows that we see that. But now he's trying to get us to the next step. Now he's trying to get us to see what he's really trying to expose to us. If you go to, you don't have to turn there now, but Proverbs 20:27 says there's a spirit that God puts inside man. What's that spirit? It's the like the inward parts of the belly. That very thing that God is trying to expose, that deep, deep thing that's inside of you that you can't even see yourself. God, he's trying to use that spirit to be that candle to light that inward parts of that person so that they can see, so they can understand. Before a person gets saved, I'm a firm believer, they have to see themselves through God's eyes. They got to see who and what they really are in God's eyes. And there's only one way to do that. And that's going to be to expose them to that hidden thing. Expose them to that place they would not let any human get into. And I had that. For many years, because of being molested as a child and so on, I locked all that stuff inside of me. And I just wouldn't let God in there. I wouldn't let man in there. I never went out there and talked to anybody about these things. And so I had all these hidden things in my heart. And one by one, God just had to expose them. He had to open those things up, and he had to show me one by one, little by little. But it wasn't the outward things that God was worried about. I smoked. And I was like, that's it, I'll never get saved because I can't give up smoking. And my pastor would just continue to tell me, it's not the outward thing. It's what you need to see on the inside. That hidden, accursed thing. That thing that's in the camp that you don't even know is there. Okay? And that's what's going on here. Nobody knows this thing that's the accursed thing. Nobody knows this thing that's hidden among the camp. But God's about to expose it. God's going to expose it. And so we're seeing, one thing that I've learned is dealing with the people in jails and prisons and that, they're very open about the things that they do. They know what they do. But now we got to move them beyond that. Now we got to teach them that that's not the only thing God is concerned about. He's concerned about your insides. He's concerned about what's going on the inside, not just the outside. And so we see here, Mark 4. Go to Mark 4, please. Turn with me to Mark 4. There's going to be a lot. If you don't want to turn, I understand. But listen, Mark chapter 4. Write them down. Maybe go over them later. That's normally what I do if I hear somebody say there's going to be a lot of turning. But Mark 4, I want to start in verse 22 and 23. And it says here, it says, there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but it all should come abroad. Verse 23, if any man have ears, to let him hear. Okay? Let him hear. Listen, I know as a Christian, sometimes we don't keep it in our forefront. God, the things that we think we got away with. God's marking those things down. And you know what he's going to do? And you know what? Your life might stall spiritually until God can reveal that hidden accursed thing in your heart. You will not move any farther. You're going to stall. You're going to be right there. Because now God has got to wake you up to what he's trying to show you. He's got to get you to see it the way he sees it. I know there's times that I can see things that God shows me, but I'm seeing it my way. I'm not seeing it God's way. I can say, yeah, Lord, I agree, and then keep on going. He says, you don't agree. You don't see it the way I see it. Okay? And so there's things in my life that I could get away with, you know, through the first few years of my salvation. There's things I could get away with. There's no way on earth I'd be able to get away with today. You know why? God had to expose that accursed thing to me. He had to show me my inwards. He had to show me what that was about. He had to show me what those secret things were. He really revealed to me, he says this, that person that you are when you're alone, that's who you really are. That's the one God's trying to deal with. Okay? It's easy to go out there and we can have character when we're around people and so on and so forth, but it's that person when you're by yourself. What's going on in your thoughts? What's going on in your heart? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are your thoughts? That right there, that's what God is trying to see. That's the one he wants to expose. That's the one he wants us to see and go, oh, and have that shame. And then when that comes, guess what? That stuff starts going away. Okay? And it says here, so let's go on to verse 2. Go back to Joshua. Let's go back to Joshua 7, verse 2. Joshua 7, verse 2. I can't remember the last time we were here. I think it was 3 years ago anyway. And a lot's happened in those 3 years. And God has been good to us. And we don't deserve his goodness, but he's been good to us. And I thank him for the doors he's opened. And I'll share that with you at the 10 o'clock. God has opened some doors for me in different ways that I wasn't expecting. But anyway, the hidden accursed thing will give you a false sense of pride. And it'll keep you from having victory in your life, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for just the Christian life, okay? Having that false sense, that hidden thing, will give you a false sense of pride that you're okay, and you're not. And deep inside, we know we're not. There's that little voice that's always telling us, and most of us would have that. Most of us have something that God is trying, and we hear that thing all the time, and we just get rid of it. We just dismiss it. That's not what God's really dealing with me. Yes, it is. And we, you know what we like to do? We like to turn back to that thing God has already shown us and go, that must be it. No, it's not it. God has moved away from that. He wants this. This is what he's concentrating on. This is what he wants us to see. And so we don't, okay? So, Joshua 7, verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, and the east side of Bethel. And he spake unto them, go up and view the country. And the men went out and viewed. Verse 3. And they returned to Joshua and said unto them, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Let's go on to verse 4. So they went up thither, the people with 3,000 men, and they fled before Ai. Verse 5. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sherub. And they smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You see that? There's a cursed thing in that camp. What did it do to them? It made them prideful. Oh, we don't need that many people to go and beat. We can go over there and we can beat them with no problem. Let's not even bring all of our people. Let's go ahead and we'll just bring this many people. And you know what? God turned that pride around on them and they got beat up a whole lot less. That's that false sense of pride that accursed thing in your camp. Whether your camp is your home or whether that camp is inside of you personally, that hidden accursed thing is going to give you a false sense of pride. Even though, listen, we can have a victory last week, and now we have a war coming up front this week, and we know that we have something in our life that God has tried to expose to us during the week, and we're going to go ahead and forget that and say, you know what? God already gave me a victory, so I can just go ahead and live off of that same victory again. No, that's over with.
That victory was last week. This is this week. But you know what? It gives us a false sense of pride. Just like it did them. And you know what happens to us? The same thing that happened then. We find ourselves flat on our back going, how did I get here? How did I get here? Because I thought I was okay. I ignored that hidden, accursed thing that God had exposed to me. I didn't think about what God had to show. And he showed me that. And it was plain as day. And I chose to ignore it. I chose not to even hear or to see it. Right now, the children of Israel have no clue it's there. God has not exposed that to them yet. They're going on thinking they're going to be okay. We'll just go defeat these guys. They're all prideful and puffy. We don't need so many people. And they lost. Okay? And so here it says, they won a victory. And they remove God out of their plans. They get all prideful. They're filled with pride. And they think they're going to have victory against sin again. And they leave God out of it. They don't even ask, hey, God, should we go up against these people? Hey, God, they didn't even seek God for his direction. They didn't seek how many people to bring, nothing. They just went out on their own pride and said, we don't need. Mark 9, I'm not going to turn there, but Mark 9, there's a gentleman who brings his son. He brings his son to get healed, possessed of the devil. He brings him to the disciples. Now, the disciples all along have been casting out demons and spirits and everything else. Jesus walks up. There's a confrontation going on between the disciples and the man. Jesus walks up and says, what's going on? He says, your disciples can't cast out this demon. Can't cast out this spirit. What happened? Their pride got in the way. Jesus later on rebukes him after he deals with the man, his son, which Jesus Christ doesn't deal with the son. He deals with the father. He exposes that the father doesn't believe, because his very words were, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So Jesus exposed his unbelief. He knew Jesus Christ through knowledge. He's heard the stories, he's heard of the healings, so on and so forth, but he didn't believe in his heart that Jesus Christ could do that for him and his son. Okay? And that's why he came out, and Jesus Christ exposed him. Jesus Christ didn't deal with the son until later on. After that man confessed that he did not believe, that he had a knowledge. He had a knowledge. Knowledge and belief are two different things. They are not the same things. Most people sitting in church pews today have knowledge. They have no clue what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's what this man, that's what Jesus Christ exposed to this man. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And he knew that. You know what happened in the very next verse? Jesus healed the son. Later on, when Jesus is alone with his disciples, they said, why couldn't we cast out that devil? It's that some of these don't go out by prayer and fasting. You tried to go and do that without me. You tried to go and do that in your own pride and your own works, and you failed. That's what's going on here. In Joshua 7, the same thing. They got prideful, thinking they can do this on their own. They don't need this much. We don't even have to contact God. Don't worry about it. We'll make our own decisions. And they lost miserably. Okay? And so they did the disciples. When they couldn't cast out that demon, it probably hurt them. It probably bothered them for a while. Okay? But we need Jesus Christ in all battles. We need him in everything that we face. And you know, the Lord has had to teach me over the years, I need to include him in every decision I make for me and my family. I need to include him in the ministry. Without him, there is no ministry. That's just all there is to it. Without him, there is no family. Because I could not do what he has done. I cannot run my family the way I should without Jesus Christ. It's never going to happen. You can ask my wife that. Okay? But you know, the thing is, when God shows me that thing, when he reveals it to me, I have two choices. I can either go, repent, and get that thing right, or I can choose to ignore it and go on in my own pride and lose my battles over and over again, and then look at God and go, why am I going through this? How can this be? And I tried to tell you. I tried to warn you before it got to this point. Okay? So let's go on. Joshua 7. I want to jump down to verse, let's go to verse 10 and 11. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore thou liest upon thy face. Israel hath sinned, and hath also transgressed my covenant I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Yeah, I mean, you can go back and look. It's in Joshua 6, verse 19. You'll see where the accursed thing was taken. Okay? It says, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels and the brass and the iron and are all consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Okay? That was meant for God. There are so many things in our life that is meant for God,
and we take it and hide it amongst ourselves. We take that and we put it in as our cursed thing. And God has to say, no, you're sinning. He's talking about Israel sinning here. And he's going to expose to us. That's a sin. Whatever you're doing, that's a sin. Whatever that hidden, accursed thing is, whatever that thing that's in our life that God has exposed to us, that's what he wants us to see. That's the thing. Job says it perfectly in Job 10, 1 and 2. In verse 2, he says, don't condemn me. Show me, therefore, why thou contendest with me. What are you contending with me about, God? What is that thing that I don't see? What's going on between me and you that I cannot see this? Okay? What is that thing? Because there's times in our life we think that we have it all. We understand what God's trying to teach us. We understand what he's trying to show us. And yet you can tell there's something between you and God. Your prayers are heavy. It's like hitting a brass wall. There's nothing there. They're not getting answered. You're like, what in the world's going on? Because God is still trying to contend with you over something. There's something in our life that God needs us to change, that God needs us to see. And you're going to see that throughout your whole Bible, that God does that. But anyway, this is where most sinners are today. They cannot see the hidden thing in their life. They are unaware of it, and they want to be saved their way with the hidden, accursed thing in their life, and God will not compromise. His righteousness will not allow him to do so. Okay? Jesus Christ says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father but by me. There is no way besides Jesus Christ where anybody's going to get saved. But you have all these people out there thinking they get saved in their own way. And most Christianity today that you look out there, and I know you guys see it, but most of them want to keep all this stuff in their life and call themselves a Christian. I'm going to tell you this. From my background, I'm an ex-drug addict, alcoholic, gang member. I did lots of times in jails, prisons, mental hospitals, rehabs. I've been there and done all that. And there is no way on earth that God, who lives in me, is going to leave me the same person that I was. That would have been a torture to me. That would have been an absolute torture if God says, I live inside of you now, and I'm going to leave you the same person, with the same hurt, with the same things in your life. What a torture that would have been to me. What a cruel God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 makes it clear. If any man be in Christ Jesus, old things are, A-R-E. That R is talking about present tense. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are right now become new. So God is taking old things out of my life, and he's bringing new things in to replace it. The trouble is when we don't see that, and we don't allow that to happen, the seven spirits come and make us worse than we ever were. We clean our own house, and then we don't replace anything godly. We don't put anything godly in our life. We don't allow Christ Jesus to come in and rule and reign in our life, and we have seven spirits come in and make us worse than we've ever been. Thank God for his mercy and his grace, for saving a wretch like me, for saving somebody like me and healing me. Hey, I healed inside. I mean, he took away those emotions. He took away that hurt and that pain. Let me just say this. I've had 3 back surgeries, 3 neck surgeries, arm bicep surgery. I've had an ulnar nerve surgery. And I can tell you, I can live with the physical pain. It was the mental and spiritual pain that was killing me. That's what was hurting me. The things that the emotional pain of the what people have done to me and what I've done to other people, man, it was killing me. Imagine God leaving me in that position. What a cruel God that would have been. But he's not cruel. He just had to expose me. I remember struggling with salvation. I did. I struggled for 4 years. I couldn't figure out whether I had it, didn't have it. You know what the problem was? First of all, I didn't believe. I had all the knowledge in the world. You ask my wife, I can quote NIVs to you, ESVs to you, King James, New King. I can quote Korans to you. I can, because I had all this knowledge. But I didn't believe Jesus Christ could do it for me. And I struggled hard with that. For 4 years, I sat underneath the preacher. And thank God I had a preacher who let me struggle underneath it with the Spirit of God. He let God convict me. The Holy Ghost bring me unto salvation. He never messed with me. He understood that I was lost. And I understood that I was lost for the first time. And I became diligent. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And thank God, 6 years ago, October of this year, I got born again. I got saved. And I've been changed into a new man. That's what it says. It's going to make me a new creature. You know, the other Bibles in John 8:32 says, if you know the truth will set you free. I've been set free too many times. I was set free from hospitals, mental hospitals, rehabs, jails, prisons. That's what the world gave me. John 8:32 in your King James Bible says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
For the first time in my life, I got something that I never had. You see these glasses? I can set them there. Why? Because they already existed. That I just set them there. To be made means something that does not exist until that very moment. That's what I got at salvation. I was made free the very moment I got saved. I had something that was never existed before. This person that you see standing here today, yes, I may look the same, but I'm a new creature. Amen. I am not the same person that I was even 6 years ago. That's because His grace and His mercy. What a wonderful God. But He had to expose me to that. He had to show me that I didn't believe. I'm not trying to condemn anybody or bring anybody down, but let me just say this. We have to stop lying to people. Tell them that you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, you come up to me and try to tell me the type of person that I was, that I have to trust somebody? What's it happening? I had to believe first. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call them who they don't believe? Not once in your Bible. Not once in your King James Bible. Nowhere does it ever say, trust Jesus Christ as your salvation, for your salvation. But it says, believe. Believe. We have to get people to believe before they can trust. Okay? I work with people who are in jails and prisons and people who are street people and they're smelly and stinking. I love them. I put my arm around them and I hug them. But let me just say this. They don't believe. They don't trust. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ, the belief that God gives us helps them to see that, exposes them to what they are. You know what that exposure does? It makes them believe. Isn't that what happened to that man in Mark chapter 9? Jesus Christ exposed his unbelief. And when he believed, that was over with. And here's what I believe. Your Bible doesn't say it, but I believe in Mark chapter 9, after that man confessed his unbelief, he understood, he believed from that moment on. And because of that belief, his son got healed. And I believe that man went home and preached to the rest of his family. They all believed and got saved. That's just what I believe. It's not in your Bible. But God had to expose to him that there no belief. And so we're going out there. We're saying, hey, man, if you just trust Jesus Christ for your Savior, they're going to look at you with two eyes because they have no clue what it is to trust anybody. Okay? Especially this day and age. But you tell them this, man. God wants you to get saved. Hey, oh, I don't believe that. Good. I'm glad you don't believe it because that gives God a clean slate to work with. It's those who say they believe. It's those who say they believe and then live totally different. Those are the ones that God can't work with. But I came to God one day and I just said, Lord, you know what it is? I don't believe. That gave God a clean slate. Let's start working then. He did. And He showed me. And I seen things and I seen myself for the first time in my life. I seen myself through God's eyes. And I would sit on the edge of my bed and I'd be crying. You ask my wife, I'm on 19 psychotropic pills a day. I feel like I'm going to go crazy. I've always wanted to die. It was a horrible time for me to wake up in the mornings. It was horrible for me to be there. And I'd be like, God, you said there was going to be relief. Where's the relief? I don't have it. Where's that relief? There is no relief in this thing. I remember God showing me this. Dale, I can't heal those things that happened to you in the past until you can see what our problem is, until me and you can see eye to eye, until you can see yourself the way I see you. You know what happened? You know why I'm not the same person that I have? You know why I'm delivered from all that stuff? You know why I got the miracle of healing of my emotions and all that? You know why all that happened? Because when I got saved, when I see myself the way God seen me, and I understood where I really was in His eyes, and I got saved, all that stuff went away. I could stand here today and I could walk up and shake that man's hand that molested me. And I will preach the gospel to him. I could put my arms around that woman who done that to me. I now take care of my mother who was an abuser. And you ask my wife how bad I hated my mother guts. And I would tell her that to her face. Okay? You know why? Because when I see myself the way God seen me, He took care of the rest. How hard is it, God, for it to be a miracle? How hard is it for Him to heal those things? It's not hard. Here's what makes it hard is us not seeing ourselves the way God is trying to expose us. That hidden thing that's in our heart. But I'm telling you now, as I stand here today, I sit here and I ask my wife, and I'm total amazement. I go, man, babe, what happened? Remember I used to do that? Remember I used to be like that? How come I don't think that way no more? You know why? Because God cleaned me up. He go ahead and He healed me. He healed me in that thing. But you know what it took me to see? That a hidden thing in my heart. You'll probably think it's... You'll probably think, well, he should have. I'm going to tell you, you know what it was, Pastor? His wife couldn't get saved? I didn't see myself as a rebel. You believe that? That's what God had to expose to me. That I was a rebel against all authority, including him. When I seen that, I knelt down on my couch in my living room, 90 and a half East Main Street, Cuba, New York, and I got saved. Nobody prayed me in a prayer. Nobody showed me anything. I sat there and I prayed on the floor and I got saved. Because God showed me I was a rebel against all authority, including him. You'll never get me to bow down to anybody. Oh, no. Mr. Macho, you know what I did that night? I knelt down to a holy God and he saved my soul. And I still kneel down to him because he's the one who's done this to me. It was impossible for me to do it to myself. And I thank God that I can bow down to a holy God who loves me. But you know what had to happen? I had to see myself the way God sees me. I had to see myself the way God sees me. And that was a hidden, accursed thing. Those things in my heart, I would sit there and try to repeat over and over again. But God, what about those who've done this to me? What about? And he says, I'm not worried about that. I can take care of that. And you know what? I didn't believe him. I didn't trust him. Well, when I got saved, I believed. And I started trusting him. And I still learned how to trust him. Guess what? That stuff got taken from me. Am I on any pills today? I'm not on any psychotropic pills. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't need mental hospitals, jails, prison. I don't need none of that stuff. I have Jesus Christ and I have a King James Bible. That's what I use. This is what keeps my mind straight. This is what keeps me straight. This is what keeps me from being a criminal. Because he just had to expose that to me. And I had to see it. We all get saved the same way through Jesus Christ, but different things. You go, gosh, you lived the life of a rebel, but I didn't understand that. Coming from the background that I understood, my whole life, my whole family are rebels. I thought I was just living a normal life. Divorce wasn't a bad thing to me. People go, gosh, that wasn't that. Listen, divorce wasn't a bad thing where I come from. I didn't know that how horrible it was until I got saved. I realized, my goodness, it's destroying America. The homes are, there's nothing anymore. What people, what normal people seen, God has had to teach me. Do you know God put a wonderful woman in my life? She's had to teach me how to write checks. Did you know I didn't know how to write a check? And you want me to go and trust Jesus Christ? And I can't even write a check? Okay? I'm just telling you what needs to take place when we're working with people that are in jails and prisons and stuff. We can't go in there with their normal everyday Joe Schmo stuff. Listen, they're going to hold on to a jailhouse religion. That's all they're going to do. It's got to be beyond that. They have to see Jesus Christ or it's never going to work. I was just telling you that a few minutes ago. You know what really got me? And I'm going to get back to the message. I really need to say this. I'm not trying to blow anybody up. When I first met my pastor, I didn't want a pastor. He approached me. I told him, I'm not looking for a pastor. I'm sitting on my porch, got smoking a cigarette, and I'm, you know, cussing and swearing, and my wife's crying. She's got, you know, babies. It was miserable. It was just miserable. Okay, there's no other way to say it. It was absolute misery. And I didn't want a pastor. She started going to church, and it was. I'm glad she did. I would pick on her and say a bunch of stuff. But then she got me to go one time. So I went. And he would just tell me the truth. I mean, he didn't hold back on the he didn't hold back any punches, and you know, he'd call me things like you know Dale, because I was abusive to her. He'd say, you're just a godless wimp, and I balled my fist back at this man, and she's crying in the corner, please don't hit him, I'm ready to hit him, and he just looked me dead in my eyes and he'd tell me, if you hit me, it's not going to change my love for you. That man would hand me his credit card and tell me to go get gas or food or whatever we need for our family. He'd come up to my house at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would tell her, I want what that man has. I didn't see him for John Asquith. I saw Jesus Christ in that man, and I desired what he had. That's the key to soul winning today, is people need to see Jesus Christ in us, or it's never going to happen. They need to see something beyond me, because I can hurt them. I can let them down. I can make bad decisions and so on. But Jesus Christ never will. We have to get these very people, the ones that are banging those needles in their arms. We have to get them to believe that Jesus Christ can do the same exact thing for them. That's where the work is. Working on the belief. If I go in there and I just start saying, hey man, go ahead, we can just say this and do this and you can trust this, it's not ever going to happen for them. They're going to hold on. They're looking for something.
They are. They really are looking for an escape. And then we give them a little bit of a religion, and it destroys their whole life. Now, for the next person to come along and try to deal with them, it's almost impossible. We gotta tell them about the relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have a religion. I don't serve in a religion. I don't believe in a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves me. I love him. We do things back and forth. I love him. That's a relationship I have. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different outcome. That's also the same definition of religion. Doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Okay? It's just not going to happen. How do I know that? Because when I went to jails and prison, that's what I held on to, religion. I'd pick up a Bible. I'd pick up whatever Bible you gave me. I'd pick up whatever. And then as I left, I'd wave to Jesus and say, see you later. You know, Jesus, I left there. I'm out here partying, catching new charges. The very night I get out, I'd go out robbing stores and beat the same night I just got out. That's the kind of life I lived. Why? Because somebody came in there and told me, hey, just trust Jesus Christ. Okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. I trust you that you're going to take away my sins and go, and I'm gone. Because I didn't believe that. If I believed it, wouldn't I not be different? You see, belief demands an action. I believe this thing can hold me up when I sit on it. Therefore, I'm going to trust it enough to sit on it. Okay? But you have to believe first. That's what we have to do with these people that we're out there working with. We got to get them to believe first. And that's a long, hard process. It took 4 years sitting underneath my pastor and him preaching that Bible to me before I believed. Before I believed. And you know what? I'm now learning how to trust. I'm learning how to trust Jesus Christ. I'm learning how to trust my wife. Women, I just didn't trust women because of the abuse of my childhood from my mother. Okay? And I had a real hard time trusting women. You ask her, she went through a lot with me. She would pray, Lord, I don't want to divorce him. Just please kill him. Take him out of my life. That was her prayer. And God did kill the Dale Morey that she used to know and gave her a new husband in Jesus Christ. Gave her a new man. He took care of that for her. Okay? I fully believe that 100%. But it wasn't until, and I didn't get through the whole message, but you understand what I'm saying. Joshua 7, it's that hidden accursed thing. It's that point of getting people to try to believe. And it takes a lot of patience. We have a lot of people in our church who come faithfully, and they just don't believe. But you know the question? It's working with them in the Bible. It's praying with them. Not forcing anything on them. Anytime anybody tried to force anything on me, I rebelled. I rebelled even more. But it's that slow love, that work. Let them believe. If the Spirit of God can't teach them to believe, we ain't. When I go into a jail and I have all these people starting to call out, I ask everybody in there, do you really believe? And I got a question that I ask them. I said, if there's a camel standing in that corner right now, and I walk up with just an eye of a needle, can God make that camel walk through the eye of a needle? Do you really believe that? 90% of them will say no. I said, then you just don't believe God, because he can do it. He don't have to change that camel around to make it go through. There's nothing impossible for God. He can make that camel walk right through the eye of that needle with no problems whatsoever. But people don't believe that. And I said, good, I'm glad you guys are honest. Now God has a clean slate to work in you. Now he can help you believe. And that's where I go. That's where I start with them. Because I understood. That's where it started with me. That's where it started with me. It could not start with the trust. It had to start with me believing. And then after believing, getting saved, repentance, trust. The trust of Jesus Christ has come in. Okay, I'm done. Thank you, guys.